The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you. I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Garrett discuss Jason Cohen's article about the most important thing your company needs to focus on. What comes to mind when you think of successful companies? Do you picture charismatic leaders, sales figures, or an unbeatable array of products and services? Today, James and Garrett discuss a thought-provoking article by James Cohen about the one thing successful companies do. Focusing on one important thing is good for your company and your customers. You'll find freedom in knowing that your customers don't expect you to be the best at everything. They just want you to take care of what matters. You'll also be better able to prioritize what you do and make wiser decisions about the future of your company. On this episode, you'll hear a description of the one thing successful companies do. James and Garrett will be discussing a recent article by James Cohen and sharing some real-life implications of this powerful idea. Next, we'll discuss the dangers of magical thinking. Magical thinking happens when businesses manipulate their numbers to justify what's happening in their company. This result has very little to do with what's actually going on and can lead you away from your true strengths and weaknesses. Then we'll talk about the importance of timing. Sometimes success and failure have less to do with a product or service and more to do with the context in which it was initiated. You should always consider timing when making important evaluations. Finally, we'll cover the difference between correlation and causation. When you look at the factors around a success or failure, how do you know if those factors actually caused the outcome? We'll share some tips to help you get your logic all sorted out. If you're interested in gaining a more critical understanding of what your company does well, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Garrett.
Welcome back to the Gross Profit Podcast. I'm your host, James Kennedy, CEO at ProcurementExpress.com. We help hundreds of companies safely spend billions of dollars each year. I am joined again by my regular contributor, the secret CFO, Garrett Carraher. Garrett, how are you today?
Super, James. All very good. Things are going great. You're back in Ireland. I heard you were over in the US and meeting a lot of customers and great feedback over there.
Yeah, I spent a week over there from Knoxville, Nashville, San Benito, where Elon Musk keeps his spaceship. Did you know that? I only found out that after I was there, so I didn't get to see it. That's unfortunate.
Did not? Is where SpaceX is? Is it? He keeps all the. That's where they actually have their spaceships in operations, is it?
I think it's Space Hopper. I think that's what it is. Hopper, San Benito. I'm Googling it here. And that's where he keeps the thing. And I was on my way out, and the customer I meant to see just casually mentioned, oh yeah, there's been this Elon Musk guy in town. He's hiring lots of people. So that was pretty interesting. And then it was interesting because I went from, you know, San Benito, then Austin, then over to New York and out back to Dublin. And at one stage I was sitting in a pretty modest building in a children's care home where they use us for controlling their spend. My last meeting was on Avenue of the Americas in Manhattan, downtown Manhattan, in an extremely swanky hedge fund, all glass and ivory everywhere, glass and marble rather. So I went there to try and figure out what the commonality in our customers was, but on that basis, there's no commonality. They're all totally different. But yeah, it was good. Good. I feel I picked up a few kilos, but that's my only complaint. Too much good food.
Well, that's not a bad complaint. It sounds a good trip, a useful trip. I remember just thinking about SpaceX there. I remember, was it last year? It was one of those amazing things I've seen where they actually had the two booster rockets come off the shuttle and land back down vertically on the launch pads. And I thought it was one of the most amazing things I've seen in years. It just was the amount of effort, work, and genius that went in to make that happen must have been just off the scale. When I just seen that happen, I just couldn't believe how they could actually make a rocket that was come off, you know, a shuttle you know, way up in the sky, fall all the way back down to Earth and land exactly where it wanted on a little launch pad. It's just incredible. It's just amazing. If anyone wants to look up the video, you should look it up on YouTube. It really is mind-blowing.
Well, for me, what I always think of is Elon Musk has the same 24 hours as the rest of us, and look what he managed to get done. So it brings out a lot of fear and self-loathing in myself for my inadequacies compared to you. But what can you do?
Well, he is probably 1 in 10 billion or whatever population is on the planet at this stage, or 8 billion or whatever. He's a super genius, you know. So, Lucas, it was amazing anyway, amazing to see.
So from one genius to another, today we're talking about an article written by Jason Cohen, who is, for the listeners that do not know, Jason Cohen is a successful entrepreneur based out of Austin, Texas. He has built and sold multiple companies, and he writes regularly at smartbear.com, mostly in the tech sector. But a article caught your eye this week, Garrett, you wanted to bring up and talk about.
Yeah, he wrote a really interesting article. I don't know if he does a huge amount of articles now, but he has a great back catalogue. You can get them at blog.asmartbear.com. He's written a recent one there. It's just come out there on the 4th of November. And it's titled, What's the Important Thing That Is Powerful Enough to Override All Your Deficiencies? And, you know, what I find with Jason's articles is he's very good at taking complex items and complex industries and really simplifying it down. So he really cuts through the noise and kind of narrows down to the key issue or the key idea there, you know, that lies beneath. I really like that, because sometimes you look at a lot of things, it's hard to understand the, you know, complex systems. It's very hard to get to the, you know, what's really driving this, or what's the message here, or what should I be taking from this? But when you read Jason's articles, he tells you in a couple of hundred words or less, he's had a deep think about it. And he can understand what the truth is, what the universal truth is from it. So in this particular article, what he really gets at is he talks about a lot of successful businesses. So you're thinking about the iPhone, he's talking about web hosting, different businesses like that. But really what he gets to is, you know, what's the commonality between these successful businesses? So what has made them all so successful? And what he's been able to do in this article is really what he's arguing, or what he's saying, is that there's one particular thing that the product or service does that customers really, really want. And if you can do that really, really well, you will get customers. It doesn't matter how crap everything else is. It doesn't matter about your user interface. It doesn't matter if it crashes. It doesn't matter if the product doesn't look that good, is heavy, there's other issues with it. If you can deliver on the key thing that the customers want, that'll cut through everything else. That cuts through all the other problems and makes it super important for the customer, and the customer will buy it. And so what's the importance of this? Well, the importance of this is, for any business who's starting out, is to understand what this key item is. What is this important thing that you can do for customers, and to focus on that? That was my takeaway from it, James. What did you think?
Well, it reminded me, I mean, Elon Musk talks actually funny about his first principles. I think that's the thing that's great about Jason's event. He kind of takes in what he sees directly, and there's a lot of advice out there on the internet which is just reconstituted or recycled advice, and there's an echo change or a chamber of advice, you know. You can barely get through some kind of business meeting and talk about strategy before someone's brought up, you know, the magical man, or crossing the chasm, or Peter Gerber, and we all have these catchphrases. It's like talking to someone about politics, and before long, someone's going to mention Hitler. It's the same with in business circles. So it's like these things that we all just reconstitute. But Jason's stuff is from first principles, I find. And that's what makes it great stuff. You know, it's quite dense. Like, I actually have to sit down and concentrate to read it. He also, I think in his article, there's a couple of things he alludes to. You know, something that we can all fall prey to, which is magical thinking. And magical thinking sounds fantastic, but it's actually not that great.
Exactly, yeah. So when I think about magical thinking, I can think of some people I've worked with previously, and they might have been managers on a job. And when we'd spend each month end, you know, from an accounting point of view, we'd spend each month end, you know, reviewing the accounts and understanding what's going on. And you know, to get to that level of detail, you really need to go down through each of your jobs. And so this would be like a service business or project management. And you go down through each of the jobs in the month and understand how they're performing. You know, I can see there with some of the people I've worked with previously, you know, instead of them focusing on what's actually happened and trying to understand, you know, the reality of the operations, what's really happened on the ground, what they'll actually do is they will look at the spreadsheet that I put up and they will actually just see what the biggest number is and then try and manipulate that number. And I know that sounds bizarre and strange and kind of corrosive to a business, but that's the reality. Because if they can come along and say, okay, I see the cost there for a particular job is too high, and they're going to say it's too high or it looks like a big number, why don't we take 5,000 off that number? Why don't we take 10,000 off that number? Why don't we take 50,000 off that number and put it into WIP? What that does is that reduces the cost down in the month, but the cost will come back in later months. But they don't care. In that month, they've taken out a lot of cost. They're going to show a bigger profit. That job's going to look better. And they're all happy. But that's what I think of when I think of magical thinking. It's almost like, you know, by manipulating these numbers, by looking at a spreadsheet, just changing a number, taking off a zero or adding a zero to your sales or whatever, you can make everything right. When in fact, it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do what's really going on. You know, it's just manipulating numbers on a spreadsheet. Absolutely bananas, you know?
Kurt, I have a question for you, actually. I mean, obviously, all of this has come from hard-won commercial experience on the coal face. And there are obviously some scars there. Do you think you're doing this podcast because you're actually too cheap to pay for therapy and this gives you an opportunity to vent all your previous challenges with all the people you've had to work with?
It's so true. It's so true, James. You've caught me out. A bit like Jason Cohen, you find the fundamental truth. And I cannot lie, you know, this is like almost like therapy for me. I should be paying the listeners to listen to this. Maybe that's what the future of podcasting is. But I do not know, but it, you know, it is good. It is good to vent and get it off your chest and get it out there and see what's going on, you know?
It's good for you. Just don't hold back, right? Yeah, get some tissues there. No one, the good news actually is no one is listening. So feel free to let it all hang out.
Let it all out, yeah.
He also mentions timing. I mean, sometimes if you can just hit the right timing, and does anything else really matter? Like, can you think of any examples of that?
Yeah, I think I'm thinking about a lot of startup businesses there. You know, that's the thing about Jason as well. He's discussing there, you know, in his article about, you know, what the important thing is. But I think timing also has a big effect on this, because I recently watched a very interesting TED talk on it, and they did a research into what made businesses successful. And one of the key things was timing. And you can understand this, particularly with the internet age, you know. You can think of businesses, I think one business this person had done himself was start up like, you know, a video business over the internet. And at the time, it was the early 2000s, at the time the internet wasn't fast enough. And basically the whole thing collapsed and failed. And that was the end of that. You know, people were logging on and they just could not download the videos fast enough. But now you see, of course, now the time was right a few years later, and on came YouTube. On came Netflix, on came, now we have Apple TV Plus coming in. We have Hulu, I think was another one. So you have so many, you know, internet video streaming businesses now. It's just unbelievable. And that's all to do with the timing, isn't it?
For sure. I mean, you can't, there's one of the things you can't really plan for. Maybe you can. Well, the only thing I would say, if you're on an entrepreneurial journey, is that you can be lucky and not lucky, let's say. Maybe you can guess the trend or identify a trend in advance. But the one thing you can do is you can keep on trying, right? So every now and again, you can keep trying different products, trying different things, and eventually you'll hit the right trend and the timing will be right. So I don't think it's totally in the lap of the gods. I think there's a function of increasing your luck surface area. So every time you try a new product or a new strategy, there's a chance the timing is going to be perfect for it. And you just got to roll the dice as often as possible. And eventually things will come good, you know?
That's interesting. And do you think it's like, you know, rolling the dice with the same idea? Or is it more like, okay, you go along and you say, right, I'm going to do this particular idea. And then you see, okay, the market has moved or new technologies is coming in, or there's different business models. And now I need to actually adjust, but try it again along the same idea, but maybe I'm going to use a new technology now, or I'm going to have a different business model.
Well, the problem with doing the same idea is you burn yourself out, right? It's very hard to keep on going with the same thing for 15 years or 10 years or 5 years, even if with no success, you know, hoping that something's going to change. So from a human perspective, I mean, certainly I've been involved in and started businesses in the past, which I gave up on, didn't get traction. And there are examples, shining examples today of, you know, very successful companies doing that exact same thing. Was it the timing? Was it the execution? You don't really know. But point being, if you stick with anything long enough, you know, eventually a stop clock is right twice a day. So, but the thing there is, who's really going to stick with the same thing forever? I would say do something, you know, you're going to burn yourself out on and move on to the next thing. Energy, time, and because that's the other thing. I mean, it's not the actual passing of time that improves your chances. It's the completion of, you know, let's call them a sincere effort, right? So if you've, the amount of times you've really tried to hit the ball as opposed to going through the motion, more times you have tried to hit the ball, more likely you are to hit the ball. So that's what I'd say on that.
Very interesting. A bit like Malcolm Gladwell and his 10,000 hours and deliberate practice, where he talks about, you know, if you put in the time and the effort, you get better and better. And then, you know, after 10,000 hours or so, you can become world champion at nearly anything, you know. But that leads me on to my final thought in this kind of article, which was on correlation versus causation and even conflation, where people kind of mix up things. And the thing I think about there is that a lot of stuff in the tech world or even in business is there's a lot of things where people have correlation, where they see something and they see success, but does the thing they see really cause the success, or is it just something that happens at the same time, or is something that's going on, you know, the people have done something similar? And I think you see a lot of stuff like that. You see things like, I think I was talking to you there about things in Google where they're giving out free beer or free drinks, or have food on site, to have maybe slides and different chill out rooms and all that. But like, has that caused their success? Was that that made them into a £1 billion company? Or was it actually all the hard work the people did and their insight into Google AdWords that really made them a market leader, you know? And people think about the Apple iPhone or the Apple company, you know, was it Steve Jobs wearing a black turtleneck jumper that made that company so successful? Or was it his hard work and maybe perseverance and maybe belligerence that made it so successful?
Sure, for sure. I mean, it's a little bit of magical thinking there as well. You see what you want and you believe that's going to try. If I just wear enough, I'll wear two turtleneck jumpers and I'll get me there twice as quick. It's easy to fall into that. And even, I mean, that's a bit facetious, but even, you know, I would say things like going to conferences for, you know, without firm objectives, or other things that are going through the motions as opposed to actually really trying to get to an outcome. You know, I see it all the time that when we do something, we, for example, review our competitors. But do we actually action any of the, what do we take when we do that review of our competitors? What do we do to actually improve ourselves? Do we just review the competitors and then think about it and move on? Or do we actually going to do something actionable on the basis of what we learned, you know?
Yeah, that's a good insight. I always think it's important to, with any of these things, is the number one thing is to understand the logic. You know, what is the logic behind this? You know, so in those examples, like the logic of the Google beer and the slides and all this crack, is really to keep people at work longer. Like, that's the reality of it. There's no secret agenda there. They're just trying to keep people there at work longer. And even the other one where they're saying out in Silicon Valley, it's, you know, you can take as many holidays as you want. Wow, how cynical is that? How you know, underhanded is that? You know, the pressure that's going to be on you not to take any holidays is going to be astronomical. Absolutely, yeah. Astronomical. It really is so underhanded. You know what I mean? I can't describe. I really have negative feelings about that kind of the thought process that went into that, the sneakiness. It almost could have been taught up by an accountant. It's that sneaky, James. I'm not even joking you there. It was so sneaky to give everyone, you know, everyone has holidays, unlimited holidays. And then, you know, that the pressure on you to not to take holidays must be massive. People are looking at you going, how many holidays he's taken this year, you know? Whereas if everyone has the same holidays or roughly the same or a set quantity, they're going, okay, he's gone on holidays, but he's taking annual leave, but, you know, he's entitled to it. And that ties back, he's got a limited amount. So if he uses up 5 days here, that's 5 days off his limit. Whereas if someone takes 5 days now, they're going, hold on, he's taking 5 days there. He might take another five every month. When are we going to how do we know he's part of the team? Is he really pulling along here? So I think that was really sneaky, you know?
Agree with that 100%. Yeah, 100%. And you know, there's also, what's the real objective there? I mean, you have to think about, like, taking as much holidays as you want. Was the objective to loved by your, the leadership want to be loved by the team? Or is it to try and attract people into the company? You'd have to ask, okay, well, if I'm attracting people into the company and people are attracted by unlimited holidays, what sort of people am I attracting? You know, maybe that's right for some companies, but maybe not for others. I mean, but I suspect you actually are correct there in that the actual real motivation was to start from the new bait and the new optional number of holidays is zero holidays. And that's sort of the expectation.
Oh, yeah. Super sneaky. Absolutely. Very underhand. I really think so. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, well, we're going to link up the article we've been discussing in this podcast and a bit more of a general podcast this week, but that's fine. We're all interested in the generics. I think we've got coming up some more tutorial-style podcasts covering budgeting. A lot of people are getting into budgeting this time of year, so stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, have a great week. See you, Garrett.
See you, James. Take it easy.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James and Garrett. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on the most important thing your company can do to be more successful. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. Don't forget to click on one of those links to get a free chapter from the book Profit Leaks by James Kennedy and Garrett Carher. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Gross Profit Podcast.